You have your Bibles turned to 1 John chapter 4. We continue in our study of the tests of life. I was talking to my brother on the phone yesterday. We were talking about getting older. And I said, you know you're getting older when you pull a muscle just bending over to pick up a shoe. And after 54 years, I was telling him, I said, it's amazing. And Mickey Mantle was right. If I had known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. But spiritually speaking, I'm also celebrating, and actually tomorrow, I'll be celebrating my birthday in the Lord. So I'm grateful to God for that. You have your Bibles. We want to read together about a new nature. A new nature. We're going to read verses, chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, 7 and 8, and 13 through 15. You are from God, little children, and you've conquered them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then verses 13 through 15. And this is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given assurance to us from his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Father and God, thank you for your word. Now, we ask that you would speak so that your servants may hear. Father, we pray that you will help us to see truth, that you will open up our hearts to it, that we may reorient our lives because of it. Glorify the Lord Jesus in all that we say. And Holy Spirit, do a fresh work of grace in our hearts and lives this morning. We love you and we thank you this morning for Jesus' sake. And in his name we pray. And God's people say, amen. Amen. There's a parable or a fable that's attributed to Aesop called The Scorpion and the Frog. And some of you may have heard it. It simply goes like this. A scorpion and a frog met on the bank of the stream. And the scorpion wanted to get to the other side but could not swim. So he asked the frog to carry him across the stream on his back. The frog, knowing what a scorpion is, says to him, How do I know that you won't sting me? The scorpion says to the frog, think about it, because if I do sting you, then I will die as well. So the frog, thinking that self-preservation would outweigh everything else, was satisfied, so he invited the scorpion to crawl on his back as he began to swim across the stream. But sure enough, in midstream, the scorpion stung the frog. And the frog, in amazement, as he felt the onset of the paralysis from the venom and started to sink, knowing that he would drown and so would the scorpion, looked at the scorpion and gasped his last breath, why did you sting me? The scorpion replied, I'm a scorpion. It's my nature. The moral of the fable is this. A thing's nature is what it truly is. That which your nature is that what you are. Nothing more, nothing less. And so the scorpion is just being a scorpion. It is his nature to be a scorpion. And that even if it meant his own life, the scorpion was going to be a scorpion, and so he stung the frog. Well, the same is true of human beings. What your nature is what you are. John is talking about people who are talking a lot about knowing God and knowing Jesus, but their natures are fundamentally unchanged, and so John calls them false teachers. And he shares with the church this reality of that they may say one thing, but their nature betrays something else. And so John gives this simple test to the church to how to determine whether they're a child of God is the test of a new nature. Do you have a different nature having encountered Jesus Christ than you had before? And then he describes that new nature to them. The first thing he describes is found in verses 4 through 6. And it's simply this. The new nature loves the truth. Look at how he introduces it. In contrast to the false teachers who he's talked about in verses 1 through 3, he says, "You are from God, little children, and you've conquered them." Why? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Well, who is the one that's living within them? Who is the one that's within them? I think contextually and theologically, it's clear he's talking about the Holy Spirit who is in them. And so he says, because of that, they are from the world. They, therefore, when they speak, what they say is coming from the world, and the world listens to them. But, is the idea, we are from God. And anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. And from this reality, who it is that you're listening to, in other words, who it is that you hear, we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. John contrasts very vividly those who are in the, whose nature is in the world and those whose nature is in Christ, and how that the world of the nature of the world is different from the nature of the child of God. Look at the nature of the world. He says something very interesting about them. He says, first, they're continually speaking. He says that they are from the world, and therefore what they say, what they are continuously saying is the idea, is from the world, and the world listens to them. Notice there are three things that are unique about those that are from the world. One, they have a different source of their understanding. Notice he says, they are what? From the world. Now, in the Bible, the world can refer to just the physical stuff that makes up the world around you. But in context here, John is talking about the world and its system, the way the world sees things, the way the world understands things, that part of reality that's influenced by darkness, who, as Jesus said, is under the sway of the prince of this world, the prince of darkness. And so, therefore, their source is not God, and when they speak, their source is darkness. Their source is from the world. Their source is from the prince of darkness. And so, therefore, what they say cannot be true. It is false. They have a different source than those who know Christ. But not only do they have a different source, but they have a different speech. You see, the Bible says that, and when what they say is from the world and the world listens to them. What are they saying? Their words are attractive. Their words are enticing. But because of the source of the words, their words are ungodly. They're antithetic to the things of God. And notice not only do they have a different speech, but they have a different audience. Their audience is that which is apart from God. And notice the scripture says that the world listens to them. Their speech seeks to comfort those who wish to live in opposition to the truth of the Word of God. In fact, they live in error. Now, I want you to know something, and I'm going to try to say this very simply, and that is that the world loves hearing what it believes reinforced by those who lead it. I was watching the other night TV. It was a story, and I just happened to turn on the TV, and so I'm doing what good guys do. Gentlemen, see if you agree with your pastor. There are two great inventions for guys. One was the automobile, and the other was the remote control. Just guy things. And so I'm channel surfing, and so I'm going ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. So I'm just, and it's the same news story, and even the same words are being used to describe the same event. Supposedly different perspectives, but they all sound the same. Why? Because their perspective is all from the same source. And it's amazing that we in the church don't often understand this. We in the church need to understand something. The world is not going to celebrate us. Now, some of you have lived in a day, and I've lived a good portion of my life in the days in which the tide was coming in. It seemed like everybody was agreeing with us. How many of you can remember the moral majority? What was that? That was a way of saying that most Americans were silent, but they held to biblical morals, and they were actually the majority of the country. Now we live in a day of the immoral majority. And things the Bible condemns, the culture celebrates. In the area of sexuality, in the area of morality, in the area of economics, in politics, whatever it is, the world is now celebrating what the Bible condemns and condemns what the Bible celebrates. Well, beloved, that was the first century, and really, with the exception of the bubble of the United States in the first 200 years of its existence, that has been the nature of Christianity in the world. And we're getting ready to, if we're not already there, experiencing these things in which there's a clear line of demarcation between that which is of God and that which is not of God. And it's going to be played out publicly. John says, the world celebrates the world. Because they're from the world. They have the same source. They have the same speech. They have the same audience. And the world's desire is to comfort the world in its worldliness. But notice the contrast. The world lives in error, but notice the contrast John gives to us. He says, we are from God. Notice he starts in verse 4, you are from God. And then he speaks of we, all of us, who are no God. We are from God. Now look at this. Not from the world, we're from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. Reminds me of a sermon I preached one time, and a lady came up to me, and I was young and not nearly as gifted as I am now in being diplomatic. And she said, I didn't really like that sermon. I said, well, not the devil. Just left it at that. Just a thought. Who are you siding with there? Anything. That wasn't part of the sermon at the 8:30. It just kind of came this morning. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. And we know the spirit of, and by this thing, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. So believers have a different source. The spirit that empowers believers is the Holy Spirit. That's what he said in verse 4, because greater is the one in you than who is in the world. You have a different source. We have a, a different speech. Our speech is not error. Our speech is the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God. And our audience is God himself. He's the one listening to our speech. You see, unlike the world, our message does not comfort the sinner in their sin. Our message confronts the sinful in the error of their sin in order that they might be delivered from that sin, in order that they might overcome and become children of God. We are against the world and its system for the people trapped in it. Jesus said that the knowledge of the truth is what sets you free. By definition, if you don't know the truth, then you are in error. And if truth is that which frees you, error is that which enslaves you. If truth is what allows you to know God, then error is what keeps you from God. If the gospel is what gives you eternal life, the message of the world is what gives you eternal damnation. We are not of the same source. And we who are children of God, who have a new nature, that new nature loves truth. Notice he says, that's how we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. Anyone who knows God listens to the truth and rejects error. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are always shaped by that which you listen to. And we who are children of God, our new nature loves the truth and is being shaped by the truth. The second thing we see is not only does our new nature love the truth, but our new nature manifests love to fellow believers. It's a love that is demonstrable to the children of God. Look at what John says. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another. Because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We live in a world that has so messed up the word love that we think that love is simply an emotion, or that love is a good feeling, to quote the Beach Boys, a good vibration. We think that love is something that we experience and then we act on. And we also think that love is something that we get to decide whether we demonstrate or not. So I'll love my friends, but I'll hate my enemies. And what did Jesus tell us? We're to love our enemies and our friends. See, this word love here is a love which speaks of otherness, of that which is focused on someone else or something else for its benefit. It is a love that is sacrificial. It is a love that gives of itself for the other person. And John says that we need to love one another that way. Where is that love to be manifested first? In the family of God. The enemies of the church in the first century were many, but all of them acknowledged that the church, the believers, loved each other to death, literally unto death. And so John is writing to those believers in Ephesus. He says, let us love one another. Why? Because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I'm going to tell you two things. Children resemble their parents, and children reflect their parents' priorities. They resemble and they reflect their parents. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And John says, who is our Father? God. Who is God? Well, God is, say it, love. Okay, if you're God's child, then you're going to resemble him. You're going to resemble his character, and you're going to reflect his priorities. And where does God demonstrate his love? To his children, to fellow believers. He loves the world, yes, but the manifestation of the love of God is in the family of God. I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it again, and I'll probably use it. Originality is forgetting where you stole it from, but it's a very good illustration. Gentlemen, if you love your wife, is it not true that no one is going to be your close bosom buddy who doesn't love her? Ladies, if you love your husband, I mean really love your husband, you're not going to have really close, intimate friends who don't. Now, this means yes, and this means no. And you better know the difference between this and this. This don't get it, which is bad grammar, but good preaching. And so Jesus dies that we might become part of the family of God. And God loves his family. And if you love God, if you say you love God, and you have his nature, and you resemble him, then you're going to reflect his priorities, and that means you're going to love what he loves. You're not going to like what he doesn't like. You're going to love what God loves. And you're going to do that because you resemble and reflect your Father. It says that we're going to love like that because, one, God is love. Two, because those who know God have been born of God. They have a nature like his. And thirdly, is that love is the evidence that we know him as we demonstrate it to believers in Christ. I weary of people who say they love Jesus but don't love his church. I'm weary of that, and I don't accept that anymore. Someone says, well, I love Jesus. There's a church I can do without. Well, okay. What are you going to do without him? In eternity? Seriously, where are you going to do without the church? If you're a child of God and they're children of God, guess who you get to spend eternity with? The people you don't have anything to do with on the earth. How foolish is that? Could that be a betrayal that maybe you really don't resemble your Father? Or maybe you really do resemble your Father. Turn to John 8 again. Verse 42. If God were your Father, you would love me because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of liars. Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe in me. What did Jesus just say? He just said, you resemble your Father. And you reflect what he is. Now the question, child of God, is, who's your Father? And if your Father is God, you have a new nature that manifests love to your fellow saints. And that old ditty just don't cut it biblically, which says, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be glory, but to dwell below with those we know, now that's another story. We laugh at that, but that is so unbiblical. If you have a new nature, you want to manifest the love of God to your fellow believers. You want to embrace them. You want to encourage them. You want to strengthen them. You want to see them walk close with God. And there's a third thing. Not only is the new nature love truth, not only is the new nature manifest love to the brethren, but the new nature, I don't know how to say this, but maybe the best way I can say it is the new nature exalts in the Trinity. Because if you actually read this passage, you see it's very Trinitarian. These people have God for their Father, the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and the Holy Spirit as their down payment on eternity, the indweller, if you will, of the presence of God. So all three are present in this process, but all of them together exalt the Lord Jesus. The new nature exalts the Lord Jesus. Why? Because the new nature is the Holy Spirit living within you. That's where the new nature comes from. Look at verse 13. This is how we know that we remain in him. How do you know that you're in him? How do you know there's a new life there? And he in us, he has given us given assurance to us from or by his Spirit. Amen. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. The new nature exalts the Lord Jesus. Three reasons why the new nature exalts the Lord Jesus found in our text. First, because the Holy Spirit indwells us. He is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, the down payment of eternity. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 16. Sorry. Take your Bible, turn to John 16, beginning in verse 7. The Lord Jesus speaking, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world," that is, convict the world, "of sin and of righteousness and of a judgment." Of sin, ready? Why is there conviction of sin? Because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit then, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and will show it to you. Why does the new nature exalt in Christ? Because the new nature is the result of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God exalts the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. In fact, you might say it this way. The Holy Spirit is the most Jesus-centered person in the Trinity. He exalts the Lord Jesus in all things. And if he is dwelling within you, then you're going to exalt the Lord Jesus. If something causes you to focus on something or someone other than the Lord Jesus, that is not your new nature. That is your old nature. The new nature exalts the Lord Jesus because of the indwelling of the Spirit. Secondly, We exalt in the Lord Jesus because we confess him as the Son of God, as our Lord. Look at what it says. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. So the Holy Spirit brings us to Christ and we confess the Lord Jesus. So even our new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit. And that new birth comes as we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's where the new nature comes from. There is no new nature that denies Jesus. That's why the early church, that was their ironclad test about whether someone was a believer. What will you do with Jesus? The new nature exalts in the lordship of Christ because it is the Spirit of Christ who causes us to abide in him, to remain in him. The new nature loves the truth. It demonstrates and manifests love to believers. And it exalts the Lord Jesus and loves the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you've gotten over Jesus, you've gotten over the wrong thing. I'm a person who likes different things. I'm built like a bouncer, but my brain functions like a nerd. I love watching the Weather Channel. I don't know why. I just do. I think it's cool. Show me. I want some more grass. I'm a junkie of Weather Channel. And just recently, you know, there's been a hurricane came through Florida by the name of Hermine or Hermine or whatever. I want to say Hermione because of the Harry Potter books, but. Well, at least they know that name. And it's interesting as they showed the next day, the weather personalities didn't say, and there's the hurricane over there. Can you see it? What did they do? They pointed to what happened because the hurricane came through. Because the hurricane came through, look at all the power lines that are down. Look at all the houses that have been destroyed. Look at the roadbeds and the beach that has been washed away. What are they pointing to? They're pointing to the effects of the hurricane. Well, the Bible's doing the same thing for you this morning. If you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and truly have been born again, a new nature has been imparted to you, and there are effects in your life of that new nature that can be pointed to and say, look, that's a believer because we see this, we see that, we show that truth. And the new nature loves the truth. Are you a person of the truth this morning? Because I want to point to you and say, you know, we're not a person who lives in deception, neither self-deception or embracing the world's deception. We're people of the truth. When God said no, he meant it. When God established marriage along heterosexual covenantal lines, he meant it. When God said thou shalt not, he wasn't saying thou shalt not until you get politically savvy enough to get your way. Are you people of the truth? Do you love his truth even if it costs you something? Do you manifest love to your brothers and sisters? A love that could cost you something. It could get you out of your comfort zone and out of convenience. Instead of sitting in the pews and saying, I want to serve somewhere in this family of God. I want to serve the people of God. There are Sunday school teachers that we need. There are Awana workers that we need. There are children's workers that we need. We need help serving the body of Christ. Are you willing to manifest that love because of a new nature? And do you exult in and exalt the Lord Jesus? Can you say with the old hymn writer, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him all the more. And if you can't say that, then John would say to you, where are the effects of new life that you claim to have that are visible and demonstrable in the world in which God has given you to live? As we stand around the room and our musicians come, everyone who ever encountered Jesus Christ was changed. Those who came to him and loved him, they were eternally changed. And they passed from death to life. Everyone who encountered him and rejected him, they were transformed. They went deeper into darkness. And they spend eternity today apart from him. Everyone who encounters Jesus is changed one way or another. And this morning, we want you to encounter him. We want you to know for a fact that you know him. Not that you can say the words, but that you can live the life by the power of the Spirit, because he gives you a new nature. If you've never encountered the Lord Jesus, this morning we want to share with you how you can come to know him. And as we begin singing, you need to get out from the pew where you are standing and walk the aisle and let us share with you how you can come to know him. Maybe this morning you're looking for a church home. You've been a guest, you've been visiting, and you sense God's leading you here. Come and join us and begin manifesting the love of God to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Start in the family of God, and then it'll work its way out from there. Maybe this morning you'd have to say, as a child of God, you're walking a guilty distance. Maybe you've begun to question whether or not God meant what he said. Maybe you've begun making excuses for things you 5 years ago would have said are sin. And maybe God's saying to you this morning, you need to jettison that. You need to repent. You need to come back and realign yourself once again with the truth of the Word of God. Maybe this morning you need to be baptized, want someone to pray with you. I don't know what God's laying on your heart, but whatever he is, you must respond. Heavenly Father and God, in Jesus' name, this is your invitation. Glorify yourself in it and do what only you can do by the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.